The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Brendan Kelly is with me, Professor of Psychiatry at Trinity College Dublin, Consultant Psychiatrist at Tallaght University Hospital, to talk about Murder, She Wrote. 40 years young.
Wow, yes, and it doesn't seem like
younger
that long
than
ago.
Both of us, Brendan. I hate to admit. Anyway, it is younger than both of us. It is still old. So 40 years on our TV screens, and it's got an enduring appeal.
It does. It does. We love murder. You know, we love killing. We love murder. We watch TV programs about it, movies. We read about it in novels. We are curiously obsessed by it. And yet most of us will not commit a murder in our lifetimes.
Why are we so obsessed?
Well, I mean, we can go very deep here. I don't know if you're ready for a bit of deep Sigmund Freud at this time.
I always like to recline during my Sigmund Freud moments.
I think it's very good you do so. So Freud wrote about the life instincts and the death instincts, also known as Eros and Thanatos. So at first he thought everything we do is fueled by a desire for life, to live longer, to reproduce, to love, to grow, to flourish. Mm. But over time he began to notice that there was we were drawn to death in certain ways, and that we were interested in death, interested in killing, in murder. The great myths of old, they're all about terrible murders and killings and maimings and things like this. And he came to see the human mind or the psyche as a balance between the interest in Eros, life, growth, flourishing, and death, Thanatos. And when you think about a lot of the murder that we watch on TV, there can be some romance in there as well. And it's a perfect balance of these two life forces, or the instincts, the Eros and the Thanatos.
But is one a consequence of the other? Is our fascination with the Thanatos not because of the Eros? That, you know, it's the thing that prevents life.
Yes. No, it is. They're the same. You know, they're two sides of the same coin.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
You can't really have one without the other. Now, they're named after the Greek god of love, Eros. And then Thanatos was this figure in Greek mythology who would carry you away when you had died and take you into the underworld. And the interplay between these two things is writ large in these TV programs we watch. Now, most of our lives will have elements of both. But, you know, heaven bless, from day to day, our lives are pretty banal.
And is our fascination with these shows with, you know, in terms of the characters in them, with the people who are doing the murdering or the murdered?
Ah, well, subconsciously, we identify with both, probably more with the murderer, and we compare ourselves subconsciously. The question being, if he or she does that, could I possibly do that? And we look for differences between the killer and ourselves, or similarities. And we're hoping for differences. But of course, a good program will keep you guessing, and you'll be comparing yourself to all the characters. You might not know who the bad guy is or who the bad person is. So that element of suspense really supercharges the interplay between the life and the death instincts that they're toying with.
It's funny, I remember listening to a podcast producer being interviewed about kind of true crime and the proliferation of it, and a criticism was put to him that, you know, the focus is always on the people committing these acts and never on the victims. And he was kind of just, you know, he was quite unapologetic about it. He says nobody would listen to the other episode. You know, people's family and friends of those impacted would. But the great unwashed doesn't really have an it. They might say they do. Yeah. And they might text in to a radio show and criticise the podcast producer for not focusing on it. But they want to listen to the murderer episode.
They do. And that is a real ethical tension for real life murder podcasts, TV programs, series of any sort, which is they don't pay sufficient attention to victims, victims' families and the ripples of victimhood, which is why it is probably, if you like, ethically easier for us to look at pure fiction, because there isn't that concern. There's also, of course, we're also attracted, you know, we're hungry for emotions. We're hungry for extreme emotions, like those that are stimulated by murder, those by, you know, romance. And our day-to-day lives don't carry enough for us. So we're keen to experience any kind of emotion. And of course, it's best to experience them vicariously. Like, we couldn't all be party to a murder every evening, but we'll happily watch it on the TV. And some would say this discharges vicariously our own murderous impulses, that rather than being aggressive or difficult or violent, we can watch it on the TV, and if that gives some satiety to the unacceptable impulses in ourselves.
So for the great, great span of human history, kind of, they lived in much more violent times with much more death around them at any given moment, kind of the sword of Damocles, as it were, quite literally sometimes maybe might fall on their head. And we don't have that, most of us.
We don't.
But we're still the same creatures, is that it?
Yeah, we live very controlled lives for the most part, and this serves us well. We live longer than we ever did. We're healthier, and we fewer people getting killed. However, we do like the idea of losing control, and we can do that in a very safe way by watching these out of control situations on TV, particularly, which is very vivid, and it's in our homes, and we can really get into it, and that can, if you like, give us this feeling of loss of control as these out of control things happen on the very safe space of the TV screen. And we can just pause it and make a cup of tea whenever we want. So there's a locus of control that moves there. And we like that as well.
How important is it? We were talking about accountability in the OPW earlier. How important is it with these shows? I don't think anybody there has killed someone yet over the bike shed, as far as I know. That there's accountability, that someone's caught in the end.
Well, yeah, usually, you know, our sense of justice is fulfilled when we see somebody being caught, or at least their identity being revealed. But there's also this subtle thing they do is make us sometimes identify with the perpetrator, but they're still revealed to us. We figure out who it is. And even if they escape in the end, that is only to promise us another episode and another series to keep us hanging on. But a sense of control, a sense of emotion, a sense of the balance between life and death, and then, of course, a sense of justice. You know, so these programs are really well designed, and there's a reason why they have lasted on TV. They have evolved over time, and they're great survivors. They're so formulaic, and yet they survive in the world of TV because they meet all of these deep needs.
The reason we might identify with one murder, could it be different from another? So you say you're kind of your Jeffrey Dahmers or whatever it happens to be, your Ted Bundy, the classic kind of serial killer, kind of killing pets when they're kids type thing. You know, they're kind of, we kind of like to imagine them as aberrations. And then you've got the person who kind of kills maybe in a fit of passion or because of financial pressure or something's going on in their life. You know, and there's an attraction to both. Like both are kind of wildly popular in terms of cultural entertainment, but is a kind of psychological attraction to both different? I assume we can see ourselves more in the latter than the former.
Yes, we can, but we still compare ourselves to both of them. And we have a particular fascination with those extreme figures, particularly these isolationist figures. And the more salacious or the more concerning, the more psychopathic, one might say, the details revealed are, the greater the thrill that people physically feel watching the TV. And we do need to remember this is a very physical and emotional experience. That's why we do it. We get these feelings of anxiety in our bodies, and we like that. We don't get enough of that in our days. So it's not cognitive, the reasons. We don't think it through. This is something we feel. And often the attraction of this is not mediated by language. It's the look of it. It's the physical sensation of it rather than the understanding of it that keeps us watching every week.
Can you overdo it?
Sure, you can overdo it. But, you know, an awful lot of what's presented now is really quite sanitized, and the risks of overdoing it aren't enormous. You just end up watching too much telly. So let's not go around.
You're not going to go looking for the real Cabot Cove and start slaughtering the residents.
There's no evidence of that whatsoever, much as people might think. And watching too much television, you know, is not a psychological disorder of any particular kind. It's just not especially healthy. And look, you could be doing a lot worse things with your time.
You could. Brendan, listen, it's always a pleasure. Thanks a million for popping into us. Brendan Kelly, Professor of Psychiatry at Trinity College Dublin, Consultant Psychiatrist at Tally University Hospital.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.